house of God this morning, and we expect that he will move through this place in power with an air of refreshing and renewing. Heavenly Father, we invite you into this house to be mighty in our minds and in our hearts, in our situations and in our circumstances. Lord, we recognize that this is a moment of opportunity for us. This is a moment of opportunity for us to boldly step into the throne, into the Holy of Holies. Lord, we bypass the crowds on either side. We bypass church as usual. We bypass our old mindsets or our limitations according to our very nature and our flesh, Lord. We bypass all those things just to be in your presence this day, just to be changed, just to be made more like you, to see your face, Father, to stand in your midst. Holy Spirit, we give this time to you. We build an altar to this moment this day. Fan the flame that is inside of us, Father. Give us a hunger and thirst to pour out our praise upon to you, Jesus. Lord, this is your time. We dedicate it to you, that this moment will not be like any other moment, but that it will be a beginning of all new things. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here, carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome, yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live, I will not die. Resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name.
Has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here.
I will live.
I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name.
I will live,
I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name.
Come on, you guys know this part. Let's just really get into it. Let's just praise God. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus.
God is fighting for us, pushing back. Shaken in the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out,
God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken in the name.
Jesus, enemies defeated.
Come on, shout this over your situation.
And God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, hiding up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated.
And we will shout it out, shout it out. God is fighting for us,
pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken.
In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated.
And we will shout it out, shout it out.
I will live,
I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name.
I will live,
I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed,
and I am healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus.
All right, guys, who here is excited and happy to be free? Let me see your hand. All right. Well, this next song, it talks about being free. So during it, I just want to encourage you to be free. We are free to run. We're free to dance. We're free to sing. So why not just do it? Here we go.
The blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will praise, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free.
All right, sing that part with me again.
Through you the blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will praise, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free, and I am free, yeah, yeah, 'cause I am free. And I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free. 'Cause I am free to run.
I am free to run.
And I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
And I am free. Live for you.
I am free to live for you.
And I am free.
I am free.
I am free. Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will sing. Through you the dead will rise. Through you all hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free, and I am free, yeah, yeah, 'cause I am free to run,
I am free to run,
and I am free to dance,
I am free to dance,
and I am free to live for you. I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free. And if the sun has set you free, you are free indeed. Yes, if the sun has set you free, you are free indeed. Oh, I know the sun has set
set me free. I am free indeed. I am free. Declare that over your lives. I am free. And if the sun has set you free, you are free indeed. Yes, if the sun has set you free, you are free indeed. Oh, I know the sun has set me free, and you are free indeed. I am free. Yes, I am free. 'Cause I am free. I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
And I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
And I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free. 'Cause I am free to run.
I am free to run.
And I am free. Dance.
I am free to dance.
And I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
'Cause I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There is no one else like our God. There is no one else like our God. He's been faithful. He's been a friend. He's been a father, our healer, our comforter, our provider. There is no one like him. He deserves the praise. He's been faithful when we've been unfaithful. Hallelujah. So he just deserves that right now. So just focus in on him. Don't worry about the person beside you. Just lift up your hands. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh Lord, our Lord, oh how excellent is your name. Your name brings strength, your name brings power, a strong tower makes me safe. No, Lord, our Lord, oh, how excellent is your name. Your name brings strength, your name brings strong tower makes
me safe. Come on and just sing that out.
Nobody like you.
There's nobody like you.
There's nobody like you. nobody like you, Lord. Sing, oh, oh, let it be a cry of your heart. There's nobody like you, Lord. There's nobody like
you,
Lord.
There's nobody like you, Lord.
Sing, oh, 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 Jesus, there's nobody.
There's nobody like you,
Lord. Come on.
There's nobody like you, Lord.
Oh, there's no one. Oh, oh, nobody like you, Lord.
Nobody like you, Lord.
Nobody like you.
Nobody like you, Lord.
Oh, sing, oh, oh, there's no one like my Father. There's nobody like you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Lord.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for the power that is in your name, God, that when we speak your name, darkness must flee, sickness must go, that sickness and disease have no place in here because we are your children, God, and you gave us the power of your name. We thank you. We thank you that we get to speak your name. You are the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, and now revealed in you, our Lord, the beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Your name. Your name. When your name is spoken, when your name is spoken, Jesus, everything has to bow. Every sickness has to bow. Every disease has to bow. Every addiction has to bow. Every burden has to bow. Everything must bow at the name of your name, Jesus. That beautiful, that wonderful, that glorious, marvelous name. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. I sensed it in the first service, and I also sensed it in the second service. And some of you are coming in here with burdens. You're coming in with weight on your shoulders, and the cares of this world have somewhat overtaken you. And the Holy Spirit wants to remind you this morning that that's not for you to carry. That burden is not for you to carry. That weight is not for you alone. That He has the power, He has the strength, and He has the ability to take that upon Himself. We've got to give those things to Him because He is a peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that gives joy. This morning, if you have no joy left in your life, I want you to raise your hands up. If there is no peace in your life, I want you to raise your hands up. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Jesus, you're so wonderful. Hallelujah. Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can come to your house, we can receive what you have for us. We thank you, Lord God, that you have a word that comes right from your throne room. We thank you, Father, that, Lord God, we don't just need to come to church and sit in a seat, but, Lord God, we can actually literally be in your presence, and we can feel your touch. We can feel your moving, and you're moving in here today. This is your house. We are your people. I thank you that you're such an awesome God, that, Father, we don't need to, Lord, we don't need to run after you, but, Lord, you first run after us. We love you, Lord. This morning, today, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that somehow, some way, you will touch us. Lord, even if it's touching those areas that hurt a little bit. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, when we walk out those doors, that we're not walking out the same. Whether it's one word, one sentence, a shift, I declare it in the name of Jesus that you're going to shift. This morning, you're going to shift whatever needs to be done in our lives. That, Lord, you're going to give us a different viewpoint, a different way of looking at your word, a different way of looking at who you are in our lives. Jesus. Lord, your body. We're your kids. So, Lord, we give you full permission to do whatever you want to do with us. Father, we surrender to you. We open up ourselves to receive all that you have for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful to be at this house. You want to know why? Not to downgrade or tear any other church down, but I would not want to be in a dead, cold, boring church where the presence of God is not. And that's something that, you know, sometimes I think we take for granted, but man, when you literally feel like you're in the presence of an almighty Father, the one that created us and created everything that we see around us, we're in this right now. We're in this. We get to enjoy this. Amen. This is church, people. We are enjoying the presence of God. Amen. And you know what we get to do? We get to enjoy it together with family. So what I want you to do is on your way back to your seats, or those of you that are in your seats, get out, shake some hands, give some people a high five, love on some people, and just say good morning. Say good morning to your family this morning. Give five people a high five.
HT family, it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
We are hosting our first annual candy drive happening October 21st. We want to encourage you to bring in one bag or 12 bags of candy and drop it in the big bucket in the foyer as you come into church that day. Thanks.
Hey family, this is National Pastors Appreciation Month, where we're going to actually be receiving a special offering specifically for our pastors on October 21st. Make sure that you bring a blessing. We're going to be receiving an offering. This is an opportunity where we can show honor and we can show appreciation to our pastors of all the time that they've given, all the sacrifices that they've made, and the investment that they have put into our lives. So make sure you bring your offering October 21st, and let's be a blessing to our pastors.
His Tabernacle, amen. Amazing news. Tap your neighbor real quick. Make sure they're paying attention to this. This is so, so important for who you are and what God's going to do in your life this year. Look, it's the end of the year, but I believe it's going to be the best season. We are starting another season and round of groups. What does that mean? It means everyone should be connected to the family of God, because that's how God set it up. And we know it's easy to get lost in the sanctuary, but it's really hard to get lost in someone else's house. It's really hard to get lost sitting around a circle, loving on each other, creating relationships. So I'm going to encourage you, right out front at the information center, there's signups. Also, look around the room. There are group coaches and hosts all over the place. Guys, just put your hands up real quick. We want to encourage you, find somebody, make your way out to the info center, or hop right online. I know you have a smartphone. Go right now to histabernacle.com, click the groups button, and get signed up for a group. They're starting the first week of October. Make sure you're in. Make sure you're a part of a group so that you can grow and you can see your connections rise. We love you. Have a phenomenal day.
God is looking for a man or woman that says, I shall not be defeated. I'm going to kill this devil that has set himself up against me. For if God be for me, then who can be against me? My trust is in God. My faith is in God. I'm going to be all right. I'll wake up tomorrow. I'll still do what I normally do, because God is the one who is my present. He was in my past, and he'll be in my future.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? All right. Y'all got 2 more hours of sleep than the rest of us. So I'm going to need y'all to try that one more time. The Bible declares, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're not depressed. We're not sad. We're not under the weather. We are glad. Amen? All right, so let's try that one more time. 11 a.m. service. Are y'all happy to be here? There it is. Amen. Amen. It is a privilege, a joy, and an honor to be in the house of the Lord. There are so many people around the world right now. If they were together like this, it would be a death sentence for themselves and their families. So we are excited for the privilege and the liberty that we have to worship here today. And with that, I want to just have a shout out to all of our first-time guests. If this is your first time coming to worship with us, can I just see you lift up your hand? Awesome. Put your hands together for our first-time guests. They're all over this room. Amen. If you could just keep your hands lifted up, we have one of our hosts coming to you right now with a guest packet. Inside that packet, you'll find a mug from us, some information about our church. But most importantly, I want to personally invite you to our guest reception after this 11 a.m. service. It will be on this side of the building, my left, your right. please come in. It is all roped off. You're going to feel like VIP because you are. We have free coffee, free donuts. We had this like apple caramel crisp thing that I had in between services. It was so good. So you want to come out and have some of that. Get to know some of our staff. But we want to get to know you. And we want to just say thank you so much for coming to worship with us. You could have chosen any other church, but you chose here. So let's give up our guests one more time. Amen, amen. So the rest of today's verbal announcements is directed towards our church family. Shout family. All right, so as we saw, we have one of our oversized brother, Ted Shuttlesworth Sr., coming to minister to us, all right? So you want to bring out your phones. There's a one change in the schedule. On October 28th, we only have one service. It's not at 9 a.m. It's not at 11 a.m. It is at 10 a.m. You want to make sure that you get here on time, get the kids checked in, get into your seat. You may not even have the same seat, but that's okay. It's going to be a powerful time with the Lord. And in addition, that Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night, we'll be having church services here at 7 p.m. with childcare provided. So there is no excuse, but it's not that you have to. It is a privilege for us to get imparted to by one of our oversights. So remember, October 28th, it is going to be at 10 a.m. and then October 28th, 29th, and 30th is going to be at 7 p.m. at night. So who's going to be joining me at those services? Awesome. I'm so excited. Now, guess what? Go bring a friend as well. It's free. It's at night. There's childcare. It's going to be amazing. And I guarantee you, they will not leave the same. Amen? So the second thing that I want to talk about is October is our National Pastor Appreciation Month. Okay, this is something that is not just done here, not just done in our state. It is done across the entire nation. It is the time that we as a corporate body, we get to come together and celebrate the senior pastors of our churches. So we, on October 21st, will be celebrating Pastor Michael Spencer and Pastor Rhonda Spencer during Pastor Appreciation Month. But I want to just share my heart with you a little bit before that. 9 years ago, July 2009, I came to the church for the first time straight out of college, and I was sitting in that back left section, and I came in, and it was Pastor's annual Harley message. So I see this like random white guy driving a Harley in the middle of the church. I was scared out of my mind. It was crazy. But during meet and greet, it was so powerful. Pastor makes a beeline for me, looks me dead in my eyes, and he says, "Son, you were called to this house. There is a call of God on your life. You know, get rooted, get plugged in this church." And thankfully, I was not a stranger to any of the spiritual gifts. So I went home, I prayed on it, and I realized this was where I had to be. So for the past 9 years, myself and along with my family as well, we have had the hands of our senior pastors over us, loving us, protecting us, building us up. I've gone from somebody that just was attending the church to, you know, leading a few groups here and there, and now I'm on full-time staff here at this church. But it's not because of what I've done. It's not because of anything else that I could have done. It's because my senior pastors, they saw something inside of me, and they did everything possible to be my spiritual parents, to pull that thing out of me and to build me up. So I would dare say that either you are on staff, either you are, you know, one of the spiritual sons or daughters of this church, or if you've only been at this church for just a couple weeks, I would dare say that there's been an undeniable impartation in each and every single one of your lives. Without our senior pastors being obedient to the word of the Lord, laying down their personal desires, this church would not be here. Your lives would not have been changed. Your families would not have been restored. Your bodies would not have been healed. So we have the privilege, October 21st, to pour into our senior pastors just to say thank you. There are two things that I've had as I've been under our senior pastors, and they've always said, "Pastor Obi, ensure that you're always honorable and you're always humble." Always honorable and always humble. And what I love about my pastors is that they always exemplify it before they show it, before they tell us to walk out in that thing. So with every guest speaker that we have brought in, they've brought them in from an humble and an honorable standpoint. They don't just bring us any old person. They bring us the cream of the crop from the outside. We've had Bishop Rick Thomas. We've had Brother Ted. We've had, you know, Pastor John. I mean, we've had just so many Pastor Rick Shelton. The list goes on and on of the people that have come in and they have made an unremarkable impartation in your lives, ones that you cannot forget. And we as a body, we've been trained to take care of those that come inside our house. We've done a great job of that, church. But I want to challenge you as a church family on October 21st, as our pastors have always taken care of those outside of this church, let's come together as a corporate body and let's take care of the church inside. Let's take care of the mother and the father of this church. Let's say, no, spiritual mom, spiritual dad, pastors, whatever term that you want to call them, it is our privilege and it's our honor to just say thank you and we appreciate you. So I want to challenge you, along with myself, that on October 21st, we're going to out-celebrate and out-honor any other pastors on the face of this earth. We're going to celebrate, we're going to honor Pastor Michael Spencer. We're going to celebrate, we're going to honor Pastor Rhonda. We're going to say just thank you so much. They are people, they are human, they are flawed, they make mistakes just like you and I. But they have the call of God on their lives to build this amazing church that isn't just four walls. They built a family that you and I have the privilege to be a part of. They've blessed my life. I know they've blessed your life. So let's now turn around and be a blessing to them. So I pray that each of you will be joining me on October 21st to bring a love offering for them just to say thank you. I'm not pressuring you. I'm not saying that you have to. But I want you to just think about what they've done for you, what they've done for your family, and the least that we can do is say thank you. So I look forward to October 21st, being able to celebrate our senior pastors with you. Amen. Thank you for letting me share my heart. It's High Pastor Cody.
All right, let's try this again. First service, I forgot our Deuteronomy 28 declaration. That was embarrassing. It was bad. Don't judge me. Don't pick on me. It is what it is. Hey, if you're in this place and you believe you're blessed, will you raise your hand real quick at me? Come on, you say, I am blessed. You know what I love about being blessed is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 says, one plants, one waters, but it's God who brings increase. So if we're blessed, we can all agree, according to the word, that it's God that brought that increase. It's God that brought that blessing, right? No matter the level of our blessing, no matter where we currently are, it is God and God alone that brought us to this position and can and will bring us farther. Amen? Awesome. So I want to talk about this for a minute because in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 12, the children, the Jewish people were leaving Egypt. And the Lord looked at him and he said, I want you to go and ask the Egyptians for all of their silver and gold and then leave. Now, like, think about this for a second. They were just in slavery for 400 years and they got to leave. And God's like, hey, by the way, also tell them to give up money so you can go. And it's cool because when we were saved, and this Egypt is a picture of salvation, leaving Egypt, that Exodus is a picture of our salvation. Not only was our sin forgiven, amen, not only is our sickness taken away on the cross of Jesus Christ, but also lack and poverty. And we see that what happened is they went to Pharaoh and they said, hey, yeah, we're leaving, but also give us the silver and the gold. And Exodus 12, verse 36 says, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they requested. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. You know what's so cool? They went from slaves to plunderers in one day. They went from being absolutely broke and owning nothing to owning all the gold and silver, all the riches of Egypt in one day. Look, that's a picture of what God has done in our lives. That's what happened, and God gave them this gold for a very specific reason. Number one, he wanted them to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. But number two, it was so that they could build him a tabernacle and eventually a temple. This gold was so that they could build the house of God, a house of worship, a place where God's presence could reside and rest. That was his intention on blessing them. It wasn't just so that they could be rich and wealthy, but it was so that he could have a place that was fit for him. Look, if you're blessed, You're not just blessed for you. I'm not just blessed for me. This house isn't just blessed for this house. We're blessed, and I know it's cliche, but we're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed so it can flow through us and out of us, not just stop at our hands. But what we know about the children of Israel is they had a complaining attitude. They were like my four-year-old Sophia. Look, that girl cries about everything. She can throw her apple across the room and cry because her apple fell. But that's what the children, I'm not even kidding. That's like a real thing. It's awful. She got mad the other day because she had a shirt on but didn't want a shirt on but was cold and wanted to keep her shirt on. But here's the deal. The children of Israel, here's what happened. In Exodus 32, so fast forward past a bunch of their complaining. In Exodus chapter 32, the children of Israel, Moses is up on the mountain. He's getting the Ten Commandments from God. God is speaking to him. And then the children of Israel, they say this. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we really don't know what's become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off their gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf. And he said this, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Okay. We look at this like, what the heck is wrong with these people? It was obviously God that brought them out of Egypt. It was obviously God that saved them. It was obviously God that blessed them. Now they're taking all of these things and thinking a calf, a golden calf, brought them from Egypt? Certainly not. It certainly wasn't this golden calf. It was God. But it's wild because we can look at them and say how foolish they were, but how many times have we felt like God might not have been right there with us anymore? So we go and we start to worship something else. How many times have we felt like, well, I'm not really sure what this is happening. I'm not really sure where I'm at. I'm not sure what's becoming of this. So I'm going to go here instead. I'm going to do this instead. And I think one of the saddest parts of this is that they took what God gave them to build his house and they turned it into an image that they would worship. Man, how many times have we been blessed and God had an intention of us blessing his house, but we turned it into worshiping a TV or worshiping a new car or worshiping something else. Now, nice things aren't bad. I love nice things, but our priorities are what matter. They literally took what God gave them to build the tabernacle and started worshiping that as a false idol. See, that terrifies me. I don't want to ever get to that place. And as the body of Christ, I don't believe we should ever get to that place. I don't want to worship what God created. I want to worship the Creator. And that's the whole point of this, is what they did is they took what God gave them to build his house, and they started to worship that as a false image. Look, we don't worship money. We know the love of money is the root of all evil. We don't worship money. Money's a tool. Money in the hand is a tool, but money in the heart is poison. And I love that we are a blessed people, but I also love that our priorities are in order where we keep and we bless God and we bless his house and we're obedient to him and we tithe. We are a people that tithe and we sow. Can I tell you, that's not just for this house, but that's more of a show of our obedience. That's a show of our obedience and our allegiance to God. Saying, God, I know it's you that brings increase. God, it's you that I worship. It's you that I love. I'm not going to get it mixed up. I'm not going to worship these things. I'm going to keep it in line. It's a measly 10%. It's small, but that small amount shows God who we trust. See, today I want to encourage you. Show God who you trust. Show him with your money. It's one of the things that are most dear to us is money. But if we can trust him with our eternity, we can definitely trust him with our finances. today I want to do it a little bit different. I want to bow our heads, and I just want to pray real quick. So I don't ever want this to be about, well, the preacher said, no, what did the Lord say? So that's really it. What did God say? Can I tell you, God loves you so much, he wouldn't put you in a position where you'd fail. He wouldn't put you in a position where you couldn't succeed. He wouldn't put you in a position where you would drown in debt. He's only going to keep you in a place where he can bless you and push you forward. Pastor would get mad at me, and I said this in first service, but he's not here, so I can say it. If every single person here stopped giving, this church would still function perfectly fine because it's God that brings the ministry forward. Our provision is in God. Now, that's not a challenge, because your challenge in giving is to bless God. See, I want to encourage you, man. This isn't about the house. This is about our hearts. Our hearts personally, being obedient to God in all things. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that, Lord, if there's any of us who sit here and say, you know, maybe I have been worshiping things, that, Lord, you just bring that shift into our hearts. That, Father, maybe some of us are scared and we're saying, I can't afford to tithe. That, Lord, you start to bring a level of faith inside of us even right now. That we can trust you with every bit of us. That, Lord, maybe we've been burned and hurt by churches in the past over money. But you'd realize that it's not about the church asking for money, but it's about you asking for our hearts. That, Lord, today we could see a mighty shift in this major part of our lives, a shift of obedience, that, Lord, we can be blessed, and we can be blessed to be a blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus, can I hear a collective amen? Awesome. Can we stand to our feet all over this place? We have a supernatural blessing that we say every single week here. If there's a young person that would love to help me say this, I would love the help real quick, because I always go blank on this. They say they don't believe me. All right, ready? If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. All right, time out. I got a really cool point about that. In Psalm chapter 23, it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That word follow actually means chase. And what's crazy is when we start to chase goodness and mercy, you know what we look like? We look like a dog chasing our tail. We're never actually going to catch it, and we're just going to go in circles. We start chasing goodness and mercy, we go in circles. But when we chase the one that gives goodness and mercy have to run after us even farther. Say, what is it? The blessings shall what? Chase me down. They'll trip me up. No, you got to come back in on it. They'll trip me up. Why? Why? Awesome. Come and give your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're on live right now, you can go ahead and text that number right below. And I promise it'll be one of the best decisions you've ever made for your life. Also, you can click on the giving tab or go to histabernacle.com and click give. We love you. Have a phenomenal day.
I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die, I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name.
of the Lord. I love his presence. It's so powerful. It's in his presence that we're transformed. And today, you're going to hear the word of the Lord. And his holy word says, when it goes forth, it accomplishes what it is sent to do. So today, you're going to leave this place changed from the way you came in, and it is for your good. Always, everything good comes from God. Just want to welcome a few people to the house today. Pastor Jade and Pastor Chad's family is in from South Africa, an extended family, and we're just blessed to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. And actually, some friends from church growing up are here today. Thank you so much for visiting. It's so special to have you here. Thank you. So this morning, I have a word from God that he spoke to me. I was in a worship service. I was getting ready to preach. And all of a sudden, I just start to hear God speaking to my heart this message and that he wanted me to share with you. So today, we're going to talk about stop quitting and get rooted. This is the word from the Lord for you today, to stop quitting and get rooted. And I'm going to show you the value of all of that through the word today. So maybe you came in here today and you thought about quitting and you just have been overwhelmed, and there's specific things that you just came in and you wanted to quit. You didn't think you could do it anymore. You didn't think you had enough faith and you wanted to quit. The message of the Lord to you today is don't quit. Make roots. Don't quit. Don't quit on your consistency to the house of God. Don't quit on your jobs. Don't quit on your marriage. Whatever it is today, from the word of God, I'm going to show you to stop quitting and make roots. The word of God says to fight the good fight of faith and finish the race. We're going to be finishers of the race. When my kids started something, it did not matter if it was the first day and they had signed up to do it, they were going to finish. Even if they hated it and they wanted no part of it, if you start it, you're going to finish it. You know, we weren't being mean to them. We were teaching them a principle, because you know what? Once you start quitting on anything, you'll quit on everything. It just makes it easier and easier and easier to quit everything around us. And we've become a society and a generation that we just quit stuff. If we don't like our bank, we quit the bank. If we don't like this school, we go to this school. We just quit. If we don't like our marriage, we just quit. Quitting makes it easier to quit next time. We have got to stop quitting, because we think quitting is going to make it easier, but actually quitting makes it harder to withstand, because we build no strength and we build no consistency when we constantly quit. We live in a world where the grass is always greener on the other side. I wish I had that person's life. I wish I had that person's job. I wish my kids acted like their kids. I wish my husband was as thoughtful as that video I watched. We've been trained to lust after things that do not belong to us, which creates a dissatisfaction in our lives. And dissatisfaction sets in and creates frustration. And when we're frustrated, many times we give up and quit. And that is not God's desire. Quitting is not what he has for us. We even quit healthy eating programs, you know, sometimes within days. Sometimes we quit the healthy eating program before we even eat in the morning the very first time. How many of you have determined, I'm going to eat healthy this morning, and somebody bakes like donuts or cinnamon rolls? Well, there that goes. We've already quit on it. We need to stop quitting. So these things range from small to massive, but quitting anything makes quitting everything normal. So we've got to pay attention to the little things and the big things, that quitting is not a norm in our life, because when we constantly quit, we can't have deep roots. We are not rooted. We say The grass is greener on the other side, but the grass is actually greenest where you water it. So water your own grass, your own life, your own roots with consistency to the Word of God, and you'll watch your life flourish. You'll watch it be greener and greener in every season, no matter what comes along. So we need to get rooted in our lives. Psalms 1:3. Here's the word of the Lord that's going forth into your heart this morning. He will be like a tree, firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in every season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. That is what God has for you. He has this tree that's planted deep roots that you'll have fruit in every season and you'll never wither and you will always prosper in whatever you touch. So we have got to get rooted. What does this exactly mean? Roots are how the nutrition gets to the rest of the tree. So if we have no root, there's no nutrition getting to the rest of the tree. It's so important for us to be rooted and grounded in Christ, rooted and grounded in Him. It nourishes the rest of the tree. And then it also brings health to the entire tree. Roots are an anchor that plant the tree so it does not fall over. If a tree doesn't have any roots, it can't even stand. It will just fall. You could go, dunk, and it'll fall right over. Nothing can affect it. It just absolutely a fly landing on it could affect it. It can't even stand up. Roots are so important for your ability to even stand at all. We must be rooted. And the other exciting part about roots is that roots are where we store extra food for the future. That's a storage for when it's a season of drought or when it's a season that's difficult or a season of famine. The root system is so important. And just like quitting everything affects everything, making roots affects everything. Did you see how having roots affects everything? It affects my ability to stand. It affects the nutrition and health of my body. It affects my future because I have storage. Roots affect everything, just like quitting affects everything. So we must be rooted. We need to get rooted and grounded in church. We need to get rooted and grounded in classes and teaching and rock solid faith and groups. Get rooted and grounded in Christ. So there's a way we can know whether we're rooted or grounded or not. It's very easy. And you know, sometimes we question, like we're in the same church. We're all in the same place. We're hearing the same word of God. Here's a way that we can tell if we are rooted and grounded. Is He your passion and priority? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is He your passion and priority? And you know what? Don't think about this for anybody else, because automatically your mind is going to think about everybody else that this is good to hear. No, I'm talking to you this morning, all by yourself, talking to you. You're the one that has power. You control your own root system. So be rooted and grounded and get consistent. If He's our passion and our priority, we're going to have deep roots. But this right here is getting into the stuff that differentiates those sitting in churches. You see, we all sit under the same awesome Word of God teaching. Everything is available to each one of us equally the same. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't have favorites. He has the same thing for you as He does for everybody else. So this is where it differentiates, though, because we all sit under the same teaching. It's equally available, yet some only have surface roots, while others have deep roots. And it doesn't matter the length of time you've been in church. You can be in church. You can see this big, beautiful tree for 50 years. And that does not mean you have roots that go deep. They could be surface roots and blown over easily. Or you can be a brand new Christian and be so hungry and so passionate for God that those roots just start growing deep and you become stronger and stronger and more fruitful. We must have roots and stop quitting on things. Now listen, I'm not saying that when you are rooted and grounded, that it's not going to rain, that it's not going to flood, and that the wind isn't going to come and blow and beat upon your house. Everybody in this place, if there was a storm and rain and flood and wind blowing, we're all in the same place. We are all going to be hit by it, right? But there is a difference. This is the differentiation. When that happens, if we are rooted and grounded and know who we are immovable. There is no fear that the storm is going to take us out. There is no anxiety in this, but you alone determine what root system you will purpose in your own life. Whatever you're passionate about, whatever you make priority, and that's how we can all sit in the same room under the same wind and the same rain and the same flooding and have different root systems in us. What are you passionate about? We have got to get passionate about the Word of God. Colossians 2:7, it says, this is so awesome. He gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. He doesn't want you tossed to and fro. He doesn't want you thrown around. He doesn't want you having these shallow roots. Look at this is what happens when you have shallow roots. Oh, there goes another one. There goes another one. This is what's happening every day. Every day because we're not rooted and grounded in Him. I've seen too many Christians sitting in the house of God not be rooted and grounded. You see them for a moment or a long time, and then all of a sudden they're so far gone, can't even see it anymore. Here's what the Word of God tells us. He gives us the answers to the test. He gives us the answers to life. He gives us everything that you need for success and victory, every single one of you. There's no one that's excluded from the promises of His Word. The only one that can exclude you is you. You are the only one that can stop that. Colossians 2:7 says, have roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually, stop quitting, be continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. We should not be decreasing. We should not be, look at, when we're decreasing and we're not continuing, our roots are growing out instead of down. And this is what's happened. Be continually ever increasing in God, or this is what you're feeling. This is what you're experiencing. And this is not what God has for your life. And then Ephesians 3:17 says, then Christ will make His home in your hearts. As you trust in Him, your roots will grow. As you trust in Him, your roots will grow. We need to get rooted and stay rooted. Stop quitting. It just gets easier and easier to quit. Stop quitting your job. Stop quitting your marriage. Stop quitting your consistency to the Word of God. Stop quitting your, we should be increasing in those things. We should be continuing in those things, not quitting. Stop quitting on your hopes and dreams. Stop quitting on your faith. Finish what you start. Make deep roots. You determine the strength and depth of your roots. Nobody else can. I love
love that. I love that. I love that. No circumstance, no situation, nothing anybody else says can affect my strength of my root system. No storm that comes in, no rain that falls, no flood that comes can affect my root system. I determine the strength and the depth of my own roots. Nothing outside, nothing hitting up against me can affect my roots. God has given every single one of us the ability to have roots, but we've got to stop quitting. And then you will be Psalms 3. Then you will be a tree that in every season is fruitful, that its leaf never withers, and it prospers in everything that it does. That is what God has for every single one of us. But when you have shallow roots, you get upset about everything. This is a test right here. You can test your own heart. Don't look around to anybody else. Test your own heart. You can know what root system you have in yourself. And this is a test right here. If you have shallow roots, you'll get upset about everything. You'll be fearful. And the Word of God says He has not given you the spirit of fear. It is not His portion for your life. And you will be offended and blown to and fro. If you have a shallow root system, it is easy to determine because you're, this is you about everything. Fun. But when we have offense or fear, it reveals a weakness in our root system. We can be growing roots and then come upon fear and offense, and it's like a big old rock, a big piece of slate rock, and that root cannot go down. It stays shallow. You're going to be tossed to and fro. You cannot afford to be offended. I cannot afford to be offended. It has no place in our lives. I just want you to see right now that offense that you have is literally like a rock. It is like a rock blocking your roots from being deep and strong and solid and producing fruit. We must get rid of offense in our lives. There is no place for it. You can't afford it. God doesn't want you tossed to and fro. He doesn't want you blown away. He doesn't want you to fall. He doesn't want you to fail. It's not His portion for your life. I cannot afford to be offended. You see, I know that I need a deep root system because I know what this life can bring. Amen. Anybody can attest to some of the stuff that life brings. How many of you know that you know that you know? You need a solid, deep root system in your life because life is going to come. Storms are going to come. The wind's going to blow. We need to have a deep root system because we need to be able to bear fruit in those seasons. We need to live without fear in those seasons. We need to have peace that passes all understanding in those seasons. When you are rooted and grounded in Christ, you let those roots grow deep. And you know who you are. You know no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You know that He will work everything out for your good. You're just this tree over here, solid, strong, stable, immovable in any season, in any circumstance, in any situation. And that's what God's Word teaches us. He tells us, get rooted because the storms are coming. He warns us. He even tells you, all right, it's like Waze. Has anybody ever used the app Waze? It's a direction app, and it's really kind of cool because it tells you everything that's coming up ahead, that there's construction, there's a car parked on the side of the road, there's a cop, there's all this kind kind of stuff. That's what the Word of God does for us. He tells you in advance, listen, there's a storm coming. You better be rooted right now because the storm is coming, and you can have no fear when you are rooted and grounded in Christ. So stay rooted. Get rooted in the good times. I want you to practice not quitting and being rooted in the good times. Because if we practice it in the good times, it's just going to be natural in the storm. It's not going to be any effort at all. You'll just be standing there solid, firm, and fruitful in every single storm. So we've got to practice. I mean, we spent so many years practicing quitting everything. We need to practice not quitting. When it gets hard and it gets tough and you don't like it, I want you to practice not quitting. Practice not quitting in simple, small things, because those simple, small things affect super big things. So if we start practicing with the small things, then when we get to the big things, not quitting is going to be normal. Standing firm and immovable will just be natural. And listen, nobody transplants a tree in the middle of a storm. It's not like, oh man, it's really getting windy out there. I better go dig this tree up and move it. It's getting really rough out there. I'm going to dig this tree up and go move. No, it wouldn't make any sense at all. You'd just be like, at the slightest wind blowing, just blown away with every wind that comes along. And that's not what God has. So don't uproot yourself. Don't transplant yourself. Matthew 7:24-27 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, the word of God says, be a hearer and a doer. So this is what he says. If you hear these things, and everybody in the sound of my voice today, you are hearing the word of the Lord. You are hearing what it has to say to you. If you become a doer, this is what it says. I will liken him to a wise man. How many of you want to be likened as wise? Amen. It gets even better than just being called wise. I will liken him as a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat at that house. How many of you have ever experienced that beating on your life? It's just torrential over and over again. The torrential winds beat on the sea. He tells us the storm is coming. There's a storm out there. It will beat upon the house. But look at this. It did not fall. It did not fall. There's all sorts of stuff going around. People are looking, and I don't know if they're going to make it. I don't know. Are they still standing in there? And when all that dust settles, there you are standing. When you've done all to stand, you're still standing. We need to be rooted and grounded. That's what his word says. When we do his word, that's who we are. That's what happens when we're all in the same building. We all have the same rain and the floods and things come that happen. But the difference is whether we're rooted and grounded or not. Now, it goes on to say, which I love, God is faithful. He shares both aspects with us. We like that one because we're wise. But here's the second portion. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine that are in this place today and does not do them will be like a foolish man. It is absolutely foolish to hear the word and not apply it, who built his house upon the sand, because the rain, the same rain is going to fall, the same floods are going to come, the same winds are going to beat upon your house, and it fell, and great was the fall. When we have shallow roots, it is foolish. He's telling us right here, get deep roots. Don't be foolish, because the wind is going to come. The rains are going to fall. And I want my children and my people to be rooted and grounded, and they are fixed so that nothing can move them. So the difference between the rain and the winds causing you to be knocked over or blown away, or if you stand firm and green with life producing fruit in every season, is how deep are your roots? How deep are your roots? It doesn't matter how strong a solid tree is. If it's cut down and it's uprooted, the power of water will wash it away. See, we just had all this flooding stuff, and Pastor and I had this great big log tree that kind of came down and washed up against our bridge and was pushing it away, and so we had to move it. Here's a side note. I actually believe the word of God and that nothing is impossible. So here's me. I hop off the back of the ATV as if I'm going to move this tree and try to lift it and move it. Because I really do believe when the word of God says nothing is impossible, that nothing is actually impossible. I actually believe that. So don't ever come to me and tell me that it can't be done, because I'm not going to believe you, because I believe the word. So people have experienced that before. It can't be done. Don't even bother telling me, because it can. Nothing is impossible. So guess what? I didn't personally move it, but we have this great ATV that has a winch, and we tied it around it, and it moved it right out of the way, and it got moved. So nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. It got moved. But then this second rain, or this everyday rain, I don't know, we get rain all the time, came in, and it actually, this giant tree that we couldn't lift, that took machinery and equipment to move, washed away like a toy. It is probably in an ocean somewhere by now. That big, solid thing, because it was cut down and had no roots, was washed away like nothing. Like this. This is probably actually what it looked like when it was in the water. It's gone. So it doesn't matter how big and solid that you look. If you do not have roots, you will be washed away when the rain and the winds come. The word of God tells us all of this to be rooted so that we can be fruitful. And you might be here today and say, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter if I'm fruitful. I don't really care if I have roots or if I'm fruitful. Listen to what the word of God says. Actually, it's the very first commandment from God to man in his word. It is a commandment for us to be fruitful. Genesis 1:28, it says, be fruitful. It's the first command. He created man and woman, and he looked at them, and he said, be fruitful. Now we think, oh, that means have more children. No, listen. Listen to what this scripture, look it up. It actually is two words here, and the word and is used. It says, be fruitful and multiply. So the multiplying part is children, but being fruitful is his very first command to us. So it is vital and it is important that we are rooted and grounded, because then we can be fruitful like he's called us to in every season, and we'll prosper in everything that we touch and everything that we do. It's his desire. He's given every single one of you gifts and talents. And he expects us to be fruitful with those gifts and talents. So listen to what Jeremiah 17:7-8 says. It says, blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? Amen. I want to live a blessed life in anything that comes. It doesn't matter what comes. I want the blessing of God always functioning in my life. Here's how. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Whose trust is in the Lord, for he will be planted like a tree by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and it will not fear when heat comes. God does not desire for you to have fear. You're not designed to have fear. When we are rooted and grounded in him and we trust in the Lord, we have no reason to fear, no matter what it looks like. We can sit back and we can laugh in the face of the enemy. We can sit back in our chair and sip our tea and not fear for anything that comes at us, because God is on our side. He will make all things work out for our good. We can be in that place when we trust in the Lord. We do not fear when heat comes. Our leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of doubt. He does not desire for you to have fear or anxiety in any area of your life. So that's why today he's telling you to get rooted. When you are rooted and grounded in him, you have no fear and no anxiety, no matter how scary it looks, how bad the storm is raging. You know, there are trees that have been on this earth for hundreds of years, and they are still firm, and they are still immovable, and they've been through every kind of storm imaginable. That is God's desire for his people, that we be rooted and grounded like that, so we don't even have to be afraid. No fear and no anxiety has any place when we are rooted and grounded. There's just that peace that passes all understanding. People will be looking at your life and be like, how on earth are they still standing there being fruitful? How on earth are they still looking alive and green and lush? How on earth are they still prospering? Everything's been launched at them that could be possibly launched. And that's what we get to do when we are rooted and grounded with our trust in the Lord, when we continue in him, when we're doers of the word, when we obey his word. It's as if literal roots are growing down below our lives, but we can't have those roots if we keep quitting, if we keep transplanting our roots, if we keep digging up, if we keep cutting the tree down. We have got to continue in and increase our passion and our desire for the Lord. This is not a game. This is not a game. This is real life. God wants you successful. He wants you victorious in every single thing. And there's no reason why a son or daughter of God is not victorious in everything that is launched at us. It's up to us whether we're gonna get rooted and grounded and keep our trust in him. Here's what the word of God says about fruitfulness. When we get rooted and stay rooted, the natural results are fruitfulness. It's just natural. It just happens. So uprooting produces seasons of no fruit. And sometimes lengthy seasons of no fruit. And we can't be in a place like that, because his word tells us to be fruitful. And listen to what else it says. This is scary. And I don't want to have anybody ever that hears our voice at his tabernacle be able to say that they didn't know, that they didn't hear. So this is what the word of God says about fruitfulness. It is so important. It is so vital. It says in Matthew 3:10. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down in the lake of and thrown into the lake of fire. That's the word of God. It is so important. It's not insignificant to be rooted and fruitful. It is vital. I want no one that hears my voice to ever be cut off and thrown in the lake of fire. God's given us every tool we need to stand and stand there for. He's given us everything that we need to be victorious in every storm and every battle that comes before us. And then it goes on in Luke 3:9, it says, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. You see, it's vital that we hear this word today. It is so important. Stop quitting. Stop quitting. Stop quitting and get rooted. Your faithfulness, your fruitfulness is directly connected to your faithfulness. Your fruitfulness is directly connected to your faithfulness. That is why it is so important to be consistent to the house of God. Be consistent to classes. Be consistent to reading and praying every single day. Increase in it more and more. If you start feeling yourself decreasing in the things of God, I want you to shake yourself. I want you to see this visual. This is what's happening currently. If you're decreasing in your faithfulness, if you're decreasing in your passion, this is what you're setting yourself up for. God doesn't want you to be in that place. Your fruitfulness is directly connected to your faithfulness. You won't ever produce fruit if you don't grow some roots, and you'll keep falling for everything. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You see, we can sit in the same place every single week and deceive ourselves because some are hearers and some are doers. Be a doer of the word. Make roots in yourself and become immovable. Listen, this is why God established his church in Acts 2. The pastors are set in to equip and bring you to maturity. God established his church for you to be fruitful and rooted. He's given you everything that you need. So at his tabernacle, we believe in the Acts 2 church that Christ established. It says they continued in the doctrine and broke bread together and fellowship daily. So we've made it so easy for you to have roots in this place. Don't just be a Sunday morning Christian. Get some roots. We have groups. We have groups. Sign up for a group. Join a group. Get together with brothers and sisters in the Lord. When you do, you are growing roots. You'll become immovable. Join Rock Solid Faith. It's provided so many different days of the week. There's no excuse for not being rooted. God has provided through his house here everything that you need to be rooted and grounded. We even go all the way to praying with you every morning, Monday through Thursday, 6:15 a.m. You can call in on the prayer line. The information's on your bulletin, and you don't even have to do the work. We pray for you, and you can just listen in and agree. We have established everything in the house of God for you to be rooted and grounded. We don't do this for any other reason. There would be no reason that would be worth it other than your rootedness, other than your fruitfulness. God has established his church so that you can be rooted and fruitful in every season. So get involved, get connected, continue in the things of God. Increase more and more, and then you will be that tree that is immovable. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. When we are rooted and grounded in Christ, when he is our heart's passion, we are strong and solid and stable and immovable. How many of you are sick of being tossed to and fro? How many of you are sick of this being the result of your life? Just everything's just getting blown away. And you want to be rooted and grounded and immovable. That's what God has for you today. And that is his message to you. If I could just have you bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place. Maybe today it's your first week in this place. And you're here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. I have great news for you today. You can start growing roots right now. You can start getting to a place where you will be immovable by anything that comes your way. And maybe you're in this place and you've accepted Jesus in the past, but you haven't really followed with him, and you haven't been committed or passionate to him. And you want to say today, I need to grow roots. These shallow roots are no good. I want deep roots. If that's you in this place, you've never asked Jesus into your life, or you have walked away and you want to ask him into your life today, I want to ask you to raise your hand up. We're not going to wait a whole lot of time. Thank you so much. Thank you. We're going to give you just quick opportunity, please. I know. Thank you so much. I know the Spirit of God is pulling on your heart right now. He's pulling on you, saying, I want you to be strong. I want you to be immovable. I want to give you everything that you need for success and victory. If you want to make this relationship with Jesus today, just raise your hand up in this place. I'm going to count down. Thank you so much. From five, real quickly. 5, 4. Please get your hand up. This is your step to rootedness and fruitfulness, prosperity. 4, thank you so much. Thank you. 3, 2, and 1. Keep your eyes closed and your head bowed real quickly. For the rest of you, I want you to ask yourself this question. Where is my heart's passion? Is my focus on Jesus and his house? Do I have roots? Am I continuing in and increasing in my passion for Jesus? And then I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you raise your hands or anything, because I pray that every single person in this place would want to increase and continue in their rootedness. So let's just pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, whatever's been blocking their roots, if there's any offense in the way, if there's any fear and anxiety, right now we cast it off in the name of Jesus. We declare it to be gone from our lives, that we will push through and make roots. Father God, I just ask that you would give such a passion and a hunger for the things of your house and of you in every single one, that our roots will be so solid in this place, that our roots will be so strong, that we will be immovable, that it will be the difference between one and the other, that we would be strong and that we would shine for your glory, Jesus, that people would look and say, how on earth, it must be their God. Father, make us strong and rooted and fruitful in everything that we do. And I thank you for it, Jesus, in your precious name, Lord. Amen, amen. Stand to your feet with me. Nobody moving around for a few minutes. I have Mindy coming to the front. We have several people that raised their hand for salvation. I want to invite you to make the next step. We want to give you tools for success. We want to talk to you, get you a Bible. If you could just come forward, if you raised your hand for salvation or if you wanted to rededicate your life, come right up here to Mindy. Go ahead, be bold, be brave, come out of your seats. Ask the person next to you. Ask them if they didn't raise their hand and they want to go, that you'll go with them. Go ahead, there were people who raised your hand. Come on, go ahead, be bold. Come on. Come forward. You can continue coming as we dismiss. Please make sure you come forward. We want to make sure you are rooted and grounded and on your way to prosperity, victory, and success. Amen. God bless you all. The prayer team will be at the altar. If you need prayer for anything, they would love to pray and agree with you. And again, if you raised your hand or you didn't raise your hand and you want to renew your life with Jesus, just come right up forward. Don't leave this place without asking somebody next to you if they wanted to go forward.